Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Gibb. Today, we're discussing a question that strikes at the core of our republic. Who really has freedom of speech in America? Freedom of speech is enshrined in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, a cornerstone of American values and a beacon of individual liberty. But as we peel back the layers, we discover that the reality is far more nuanced than the ideal. From social media platforms and big pharma interest to marginalized communities and political dissenters, the landscape of free expression is riddled with challenges and contradictions. In this episode, we're going to tackle some of the tough questions about freedom of speech and discuss practical ways Christians can advocate for their essential liberty. As Christians, it's critical to understand our rights and responsibilities in prompting freedom of speech, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. So let's get started.
Well, sir, I think the first place we start is what do we mean by freedom of speech? That's the basic question I think that we need to begin with at this point.
Well, the freedom of speech is granted to us through the First Amendment of the Constitution, and I happen to have it right here. So I'm going to go ahead and read it
for the audience.
Yep, trying to be prepared. So the First Amendment states this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So essentially, this lays out what it means for freedom of speech.
Well, you know, there's lots of issues that surround that, though, in terms of the interpretation of that. Freedom of speech is involved with even things like riots. Mm-hmm. How far do you go in demonstrating before you cross that line to where you infringe on other people's freedoms? And that's a question that we've been seeing with all of the mostly peaceful demonstrations back in Black Lives Matter's time, and we're seeing it on college campuses now where, freedom of speech doesn't necessarily include kidnapping people and holding them hostage inside a building while you destroy the inside of the building, although that's been labeled sometimes as freedom of speech.
You know, before we even started this podcast, Judge, you pulled up a comment or a quote from something on your phone, and basically what it was stating that, you know, the freedom of speech or even freedom, general freedom, with the absence of morality is practically impossible.
Well, that was Edmund Burke, one of the great scholars of past history, who said that our freedom of speech or any of our freedoms really don't exist in the absence of morality. And I think that's part of what we're missing in this country is that moral basis that really was given to us. There's been some arguments in the past as to whether or not America is a Christian nation or not. I don't really adhere to the idea that America was a Christian nation. But what I would say is that Christianity has been the conscience of America at a very minimum. And that Judeo-Christian concept of morality is what has really brought about the greatness in America, and really the fulcrum of the pendulum that keeps it from swinging too far one way or the other, either to the right or to the left. And we have really gone away from that basis of morality in this nation to where we don't even know what we believe anymore.
Well, I think you see it in the freedom of speech. So the topic for today was, you know, do we have freedom of speech? So think about it from the perspective of the people. When you take a look at what's happened from students actually, you know, using threatening speech or threatening words towards Jewish people, you think about it with what happened with Black Lives Matter. You think about how it's been weaponized with January 6th from our government against people and what's happened in that particular case. On both sides of the fence, whether it's from the people actually discussing grievances against their government or it's the government themselves, which really leads us into a really appropriate question about, you know, social media and the freedom of speech with social media, since that's where so many people are getting their information these days, because the news we know is incredibly biased. Whether it's left or right news, it's incredibly biased. If people are going to social media, how has that, do you believe, in your opinion, impacted, you know, the freedom of speech and what's taking place in America?
You mean the social media that's social. Really digitalized gossip?
Basically, yes. There you go. Yes.
Well, you know, a couple of things about that. Number one, it allows some ability to be anonymous in what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when I was a kid, you know, if you wanted to get in a fight or something, you would say that to my face. And so the social media allows individuals not to have to face whoever they're talking about, which is a problem in and of itself. But, you know, freedom of speech is we talk about that as a generic term, but I really only tolerate to a great extent that speech with which I agree.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, but once a government tries to regulate speech that whoever happens to be in power does not agree with, then that becomes a major issue, regardless of what that speech is. And in social media, the problem is not only that it provides an anonymous way of saying things that may or may not be true, but if you get into an area where the government can regulate that speech so that only one side of the topic is heard, then that is a real infringement on the great freedom of speech that we enjoy here in this nation. And certainly we're seeing that where, you know, for instance, the Biden administration there at one point in time with the Hunter Biden laptop put out into social media and into the regular media, hey, this is probably a Russian attempt to influence the government. You might want to not allow that to happen on your network or in your social media platform. And so there was really an attempt to keep that out of our ears, so to speak.
I also think, to that end, when you look at what happened with Donald Trump being deplatformed, for instance, for the messages because of January 6th and whatnot, whether you're right or you're left or you believe in that, there's consequences to us as an American people who stand on freedom and the ability to be able to go find the information that we want or need to educate ourselves. If censorship is actually alive and happening and you're not able to find out the truth, there's problems with that. I mean, SES, for instance, stands steadfast in the truth. We know that the truth is essential for us to actually make proper choices about how we want to live our lives and where we want to go with our lives. So what I would tell you is that there's certainly two sides of the coin with censorship. If somebody's being censored and you sit on this side, but it's in your benefit, that will come back to bite you. Because censorship in and of itself, I think, is detrimental. When you get back to the basics of the point of this, but it goes back to the moral compass, the moral code. Because we don't want to be able to just say anything, just to hurt or to wound or to cause harm. But we do want to be able to discover the truth. And that sometimes comes through back and forth dialogue over topics that we don't always agree on.
Well, and I agree with that, but now there's a flip side to freedom of speech that we don't often talk about, and that is our innate right to censor for ourselves what we don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain kinds of music that I don't want to listen to. There are people who speak that I don't want to listen to, but that should be my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And not someone else's choice to determine what I need to hear and what I don't need to hear. Just the same as that it should not be somebody else's choice what I need to say or what I think I need to say and what I don't think I need to say. So it's a personal right that is being infringed by our government, both to prohibit us from hearing what we want to hear and from us being able to say what we want to say.
On that point, let's use COVID as an example, Judge. So during COVID, there was significant censorship happening around what was going on with the COVID vaccination, with different methodologies that were being were proponents, for instance, of Dr. Peter McCullough for how you actually want to deal with the COVID virus personally. Personal choice was not something that we had a lot of opportunity to engage in when it came to what happened with COVID.
And the reverse of that was we heard what they want us to hear.
Exactly. Just like what you said, we should be the ones to choose ourselves. The government should never be the one to exercise its authority over what we ourselves would like to govern ourselves on. For instance, this can even lead to what's happening right now in the school systems with child pornography, with books that are really leaning towards homosexual activity or homosexual behavior or sexualizing our children from library books that are in our school libraries. Those are decisions that really need to happen from a parental point of view, not
absolutely.
From a government point of view. The government speaking into what should be right or wrong morally for what our children should be seeing.
Well, it's our own personal moral compass that ought to be able to determine and to be the filter,
right,
if you will, for what's right and for what's wrong. And once you get whoever it is who's in power, whether it be right or wrong, if they have the ability to limit what we hear, limit what we say, limit information that comes into us, then we don't have the capacity to make an informed decision for ourselves about how to act or react in regard to that information. And that's the reason why I think there was widespread panic with COVID. There were some people who were just downright almost to the point of a mental illness, afraid of what's going on. I saw that in my own sphere of influence, where people just were just adamant about not catching COVID to the point that they would do really strange things, and that was somehow, I think, attributed to the lack of comprehensive information that should have been received in that regard.
Well, I think when we circle it back to what this podcast is really trying to do and share is really an opportunity for our listening audience to understand what truth is, to stand on the truth, to know where to go to get the information about what truth is. Truth is not a relative subject. There are guidelines for us in the biblical word of truth, word of God, that really give us, I would say, a plumb line for how we stand and how we should speak. And also that kind of comes back to what you were saying initially about the moral compass. It does give us a picture of what would be appropriate, what would be edifying, and what would be not tearing down but building up our communities, our neighborhood, and our families, and how we should be acting. Those are the freedoms that I think really God wants us to purport. Not the freedoms that would be evil, but the freedoms that would really promote healthy, holistic living based on a moral compass on the truth of the Word of God.
And that's what we really ought to expect from our government. Not to repress that good information that's out there that has to do not only with morality. I mean, that's certainly important, but it is ultimately the gospel of Jesus Christ that transcends the morality and gives us that basis to have something to believe in, something that's greater than ourselves.
Well, and just sort of the cherry on the top of that comment, we know that in the days ahead, in the times ahead, and what we see happening currently in our world, that a Christian focus, a Christian or biblical worldview is very much at stake for being able to be free to speak and share what we know to be the truth of the Word of God. And really standing on that, I watched quickly a clip last night with my son, 23-year-old son, regarding Ben Shapiro, who happens to be Jewish, who was in front of Congress regarding Agenda 2025. And basically, he was being annihilated for believing in a biblical worldview on marriage, believing in a biblical worldview on sexual activity, and believing in a biblical worldview on all manner of how he wants to live his life. That was on the chopping block. And that's really scary when you come to think of it, because that is also how this nation has been so successful and how this nation has been, I believe, blessed by God, is because of our biblical worldview and our focus on a Christian worldview.
Well, you know, here at SES, we have a very high view of Scripture. We believe it to be inerrant and infallible, believe it to be the Word of God. And it gives us that basis to make decisions one way or the other, for good or bad, but it gives us that core of morality that is so needful and necessary as we live out our lives. And in looking at that, there are really two core entities that were God-ordained from almost the very beginning. Certainly the family was mm-hmm. the first. That's his first organization that he gave us for culture. And then ultimately at Pentecost, he gave us the church. And those two things have certainly been the cornerstone of the greatness of America as well. And those two things are the very things that are most under attack now by demonic forces, not only in America, but all over the world. And so we need to be aware of that, and we need to protect those two entities to the extent that we can. And it is that, as we indicated earlier, that Judeo-Christian morality basis that brings us to where we are today. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.